Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, that bastion of free speech and Christmas cheer. Spread some of that Christmas cheer by going to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels, and you can do it by PayPal, credit card, you can call us up, you can drop us a line, you can do anything. Also, you can go to nationalbugle.com, download the Kosher-tified app. Let's have a non-kosher certified Christmas. How about that? And today, we have as our guest, Mark Collett from Great Britain. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. As always, it's a great pleasure to be here. And I should imagine this is one of my my last shows of the year. Definitely one of the last shows before Christmas. And what a way to round off the year.
Here and a big year for you. With your new baby and everything,
it's been a huge year, and not just with the baby. I mean, politically, we've done an awful lot, and you know, going into next year, we've got so much to look forward to. But I've really, I mean, starting really on New Year's Eve last night, everything for me has really sort of my life has sort of changed completely, and everything's it's been all changed, and everything's moved at kind of. You know, a mile a minute, and I'm here now with a political organisation, a baby, and doing far more politics than I ever thought I would have been doing. You know, I think last week I did maybe eight. I mean, probably not as many as you. You tend to do more than me, but I did eight separate shows last week, so more than one a day. And I think I've actually got two today. In fact, there's I'm with you now, and I'm on Millennial Woes is Millennial later. I'm here in the UK, but yeah, there's plenty of things happening, and obviously it's going to be a good Christmas because it's the first Christmas with my little girl.
Well, it's appalling to say this, but this is my fourth show today, and it's only lunchtime.
Yeah, you do work ridiculously hard. I don't know how you've got to four, though. I definitely know of three. I know this is your show. You on probably David
Andy Keith Hitchcock's show. Andy from. Hitchcock had a special Christmas show.
That's the missing
and
link.
He's so good about coming on David's show very reliably every week. And so, you know, Turnabout's Fair Play, the golden rule. And so he wanted to do a Christmas special, and I'm not going to turn down his invitation. So there you go. But I wouldn't want anybody to listen to all four of those shows because there's only so much. As brilliant as I may be, there's only so much anybody can tolerate. Too much of a good thing. Come on. So but you do the shows, but then you also have your prepared and scripted and well researched YouTube videos that come out. Typically every Friday. Last Friday it was on a Netflix controversy. Would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, well, it's very topical, obviously. I mean, it's, if you want to call it, Christmas Eve today. So it's Christmas Eve tomorrow. And, you know, what better time of the year for Netflix to release a sort of sickening comedy which aims solely to attack Christians and Christianity. Now, they released this comedy in Brazil. I say comedy in inverted commas, and it was called The First Temptation of Christ. Now, the sort of premise behind this, or the sort of the crib notes, what you would see on the back of the DVD box, is that Jesus is approaching his 30th birthday, and he's coming home for Christmas to see his family. Now, at first, that would seem, well, you know, is that what's wrong with that? Could that be quite wholesome? Well, no, because with him, he's bringing his homosexual lover, and that's the twist. Jesus is being portrayed by these people as a homosexual, and he's bringing his homosexual lover home for Christmas, and that is the first temptation of Christ. His first temptation is a male lover. And you see, Jesus, the first thing to say is, in the Bible, it's very clear, homosexuality is a sin. Homosexuality is something that is going against God. And Jesus fundamentally died without sin. Jesus died after living what was a perfect life. So to suggest that the first temptation of Christ was a homosexual lover, and he failed and fell at that first hurdle and ended up laying with another man, that is blasphemous on multiple levels, because firstly, as I said, it goes against Christian law. It suggests that the Son of God was a homosexual, so that's bad. But also it suggests that Jesus didn't live a perfect life, that he didn't live a flawless life, that in fact he was a sinner, and that he fell into sin at the first temptation. Now, that's all pretty sick, and obviously it's a huge middle finger to Christians. And to do that at this time of year, to do that at Christmas, to do that at the time of the year when most people, or most Christians, are celebrating, because it's a very, you know, Christmas and Easter are the two holiest times in the Christian calendar. And obviously, Christmas Day, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, the word Christmas literally comes from the Mass of Christ, because it's his birthday. And this is hugely important. It's central to the Christian calendar. I remember this from when I was growing up, you know, how important Christmas was. It was that big holiday. Everyone looked forward to it. You came together as a family. You had the nativities. You had hymns. You had carol singers. It was all very, very Christian, and it was all very, very well done, and it was a spiritual and holy time for Christian people. So you've kind of got this sort of triple whammy, haven't you? Firstly,
right, if I could interject for just a second, for those who say, oh, well, he was born in the spring, and, you know, the 25th, that this is just a Roman winter equinox or winter solstice festival. It's like, well, okay, we don't have Jesus's birth certificate, but the December 25th is it's the day we celebrate his birth, whether it's his actual birthday or not. It's the day we celebrate his birth, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's a good point. And the thing is, it's not so much as well. It's not, we're not here to sort of debate the historical accuracy of the exact date Jesus Christ was born. The fact is, that is the date we celebrate his birthday, and Christmas is a holy and sacred time for Christians. And it's also a time when we come together, we celebrate time with our families, it's a time of the year that brings people together, and this comedy is there to sort of spit in the faces of everybody who is either a Christian or comes together at Christmas time, just to celebrate Christmas in any way. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. But the important thing to note here is all of this is being done under the umbrella of freedom of speech. And if you read the sort of commentary that's been put out by the people who made this, it's quite incredible. They talk about, you know, the importance of being able to say things like this, how this kind of discussion is important in proving that we live in a democratic and tolerant society. And you're thinking to yourself, there's a massive irony, isn't there? We're here at the end of 2019. We're at the end of 2019. We're wrapping the year up. And here you've got a group of liberals producing a show for a giant multinational company, which is intended to insult Christians. And these people are doing it under the safety, under this sort of, or from behind this shield of freedom of speech and democratic rights. Well, the irony certainly isn't lost on me. Liberals talking about freedom of speech, democratic rights, the right to offend other people. I know what they'll say. They'll say, well, you know, you choose what religion you are. You're not born a particular religion. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of theology. And as such, why shouldn't we be able to challenge people's beliefs? Why shouldn't we be able to talk about what other people believe in and criticize it and make light of it? Well, quite simply, this is a massive, absolutely massive hypocrisy, because if anybody else was making this type of joke about any other religious group, there would be absolute hell on.
Well, well, think of it. Remember Charlie Hebdo? What was that all about? It was about some cartoons, right?
It was a cartoon mocking Muhammad. You know, Charlie Hebdo, for people who've forgotten, there was a terror attack in 2015 that killed 12 people and left another 11 injured. And a magazine, a satirical magazine in France called Charlie Hebdo, ran with a piece of cover art mocking Muhammad. Now, this piece of cover art mocking Muhammad caused Islamic extremists to storm the building and open fire. And this is the other thing. Liberals would never upset Muslims for two reasons. Firstly, because they actually respect the Islamic faith. They see it as something that needs to be protected. And in the UK, there are laws against doing things that insult or offend Muslims. So if I was to go out into the street and start talking about Muhammad being a homosexual, there would be huge, huge repercussions. Absolutely huge.
What if you left a bacon sandwich? Where was that, at a mosque or a synagogue?
No. A man called Kevin Crean, he threw a bacon sandwich at a mosque, and that caused the most ridiculous amount of uproar.
I want to tell all the listeners, I really don't approve of wasting food. So please don't try that at home. You know, food fights. There are children starving in Africa. So don't go around throwing bacon sandwiches at mosques. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have interrupted you for that. Maybe it wasn't that insightful.
No, that wasn't lost on me, Patrick. This guy. I mean, one thing that's not a laughing matter with this is Kevin Crean was jailed, and Kevin Crean died in jail. So this man was jailed for throwing a bacon sandwich at a mosque. Now, you know, obviously that could be seen as something that was rude, that could be seen as something that was, you know, untoward, it could be seen as something that was, you know, not very nice, not very pleasant, but did it deserve a jail sentence? And the answer is no, of course it didn't. But here you have a situation where these big, giant corporations are openly mocking Christianity and doing it under the sort of banner of democracy and free speech. And the interesting thing is here, I can guarantee that if you went onto Facebook, if you went onto Twitter, or if you went onto Instagram in the UK, and you started calling Muhammad a homosexual, you'd not only likely be banned by one of these multinational corporations, but not only would you be banned, you may well get a knock on the door from the police. You may well end up like Kevin Crean, being dragged off to jail for committing a hate crime. And that's a huge point to make here. When people mock Christianity, when people make fun of Christians, when people criticize, poke fun at, demean Christians, that is something that is always done under the banner of free speech. And when it is done, Christians are told that they must tolerate it, that they must be tolerant, that they must show how tolerant they are by not reacting in any way, shape, or form. However, if Christians, on the other hand, mock or criticize another religion, say Judaism, say Islam, then they're accused of being intolerant. And this is the huge double standards of our time.
Well, without double standards, there wouldn't be any standards. That's it. We have completely it's asymmetrical struggle. There's not one rules fits all. So many examples of it. I'll just pull out one example before I throw it back to you. In Charlottesville, you had Jacob Goodwin. I want to invoke him on this Christmas. Jacob Goodwin, who's serving an 8-year prison sentence for having defended a man whose flag was, he was being attacked while his flag was being stolen. So you had an older man carrying a Confederate flag, and flamethrower guy, the black guy from Black Lives Matter with the flamethrower was taking the flag away from him, and the older man was trying to pull his flag back, and then DeAndre Harris, an aspiring rapper, who's not aspiring anymore with all the money he got through GoFundMe, clubbed the older man over the head with a flashlight, a giant flashlight with all the batteries in it, you know, in the middle of the day. Those things are lethal. And then Jacob Goodwin and a few other people pulled him off, knocked him to the ground, and he was only on the ground for a matter of a few seconds. And then he got up. Well, he had a bloody lip and maybe a cut in his forehead. Jacob Goodwin serving 8 years for that. Now, just a few days earlier, that exact same judge that sentenced Jacob Goodwin to 8 years had a manslaughter case in which somebody died, and that person only got 5 years. So, and DeAndre Harris, who actually had attacked somebody, an innocent person, got off with nothing. And a GoFundMe that raised him over $100,000 and got him a new Mercedes so that he could use in his rap video.
Well, I'm pleased you brought that up, because I've got another case for you, actually. I tweeted this out just the other day, and this just shows how broken the justice system is here in Britain. Just the other day, two restaurant workers... I'll read you the headline. Two Sunderland restaurant workers who raped a stranger have been allowed to spend Christmas at home with their families. Well, this is very interesting, and I like the way they call them restaurant workers. What they mean is, I believe these people worked in kebab shops, so you can imagine what they were. They were both Muslims. So two Muslim men raped a white girl, and both have been allowed to spend Christmas with their families. The judge has said that he isn't going to send them to prison, and he will hear their sentencing after Christmas to allow these two Muslims, they're Muslims, to spend Christmas with their families. That's how insane the UK is.
Christmas.
We actually have rapists.
So not Ramadan, but to spend Christmas with their families.
But this is the thing, it's not even a small offence. Now, if you had a couple of naughty kids who were 14 or something like that, and they'd stole something from a shop, and the judge said, look, you know, Christmas is coming up, I'm going to go easy on you. You can spend Christmas with your family, and you can think about what you've done, and come back to the court after Christmas. Tell me how you feel about it then, and then I'll see what we're going to do with you. Okay. People would be like, well, maybe he's being a bit lenient, but it is Christmas, they're young lads, it was a small offence or a relatively small offence. But this offence is rape. You've got two grown men raping a girl, and they're being sent home for Christmas, when they don't even celebrate Christmas because they're Muslims, by a politically correct judge. Now, these judges are an absolute menace to society. The judges are as bad, if not worse, than the criminals.
Mm. Yeah, because how many? Well, think about it. Think about what are things that a criminal might do? A criminal might break people out of prison, but how often do people actually get broken out of prison compared to how often judges are letting people out of prison who shouldn't be out of prison? So actually, that's a really good point you made.
Well, when you think about it, what you've got in the UK now is a two-tier justice system. A two-tier justice system that basically classes white people as second-class citizens and throws the book at them for minor offences, whereas at the same time, these same judges allow non-whites to walk free for much, much more serious offences. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this the other day on David Duke's show, about the man who burned the gay pride flag in Iowa. I'm sure we can talk about it after the break.
We will. Okay, we'll be right back.
The folly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown.
Oh, the rising of the sun and the rising of the day, the rainbow reborn, sweet singing in the choir.
The holly
Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about the differences in sentencing and whatnot. And I'm just going to throw this out before we get back to the great gay pride flag in Iowa. So in the Obama administration, the Obama Education Department issued a directive to public schools or any schools to get funding from the federal government. Most schools get a little bit, maybe 9% or so. They get a little bit of their funding from the federal government. But because there is a discrepancy in the disciplining of blacks and whites, that blacks are suspended or held for detention or disciplined far more often than whites. Things had to change, and so you have to have equivalent results. They don't look at the causes, they don't look at the actual behavior, but you have to have it so that blacks are not disciplined any more often than whites, which means two things. It means one, obviously, blacks aren't being disciplined for their bad behavior, but B, it means you've got to throw the book at white kids for the most insignificant infraction in order to be able to discipline blacks for anything. So are we seeing this moving up to the regular justice system now?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we were talking about this on Dr. David Duke's show on Friday. There was a man in Iowa sentenced to 16 years in prison. Now, that's a huge amount of time, 16 years in prison. And what did he get 16 years in prison for? Well, he took down a gay pride flag from outside a church where the pastor is gay, which again is probably very insulting and an aberration to a real Christian flag, and he burnt it. Now, before we go any further, I just want to make it very clear, just as I did on a David Duke show on Friday, I don't think anybody should be running around pulling down other people's property and burning it in the street. You know, that's not something that I think is a good thing to do. That's not something that people should be getting up to. You know, at the end of the day, it's not a good thing to do. But it's not the end of the world either. We're not talking about murder. We're not talking about rape. We're not talking about something much, much more egregious. We're talking about a piece of cloth being burned. And if it was an American flag, the guy probably wouldn't have even got arrested. But because it's a gay pride flag, it's being...
And if it was a Confederate flag, he'd receive accommodations.
Exactly. And this guy has... this guy's obviously now 16 years in jail. He's had the book thrown at him. It's a hate crime. You know, it's been blown out of all proportion. So let's have a look at another hate crime. And we are going to do a like for like here. We're going to compare this with another hate crime. Because that's what we have to do. We have to compare like for like. And the crime we're going to compare it with happened a good few years ago in Chicago. And it's obviously the case I'm going to talk about is the case of the disabled white lad who was kidnapped, taken to an abandoned building, tortured, beaten, humiliated by a gang of four blacks who all shouted racial slurs at him. Now,
but we don't know what their motive was.
Yes. And they streamed this to... Well, actually, we do, because it was all streamed to Facebook. That's the beauty of this. They streamed their crime to Facebook. So this was all seen by thousands. And I'm sure the footage is still doing the rounds out there. So I'm sure if you wanted to get hold of the footage, you could see this. Now, this is a serious crime. You're talking kidnap, which is a very serious crime. You're talking holding somebody against their will. Again, a very serious crime. Then you're talking torture. Again, a very serious crime. And all of this is compounded by the fact it was motivated by hate, because they were shouting racial slurs at him. So it was a hate crime. Now, the leader of that gang...
And was it prosecuted as a hate crime? I'm sorry if I'm...
I can't remember, but the leader of that gang, and this is the important thing, the leader of that gang got 8 years in jail. Just half of the sentence as the man in Iowa got for burning a gay pride flag. And one of the four people who was involved in that crime, one of the girls, she was simply given probation. So the maximum...
And I have to say, I saw a fair amount of this video, and that the girl was a full participant. She was a full-on participant, not just verbally, but physically. And she was egging on other people.
Yeah, well, I can't say, but she was part of the group. She participated in the group, and she got probation. So the maximum sentence any of that group got for kidnap, torture, and doing it all, kidnap, holding somebody against their will, torture, streaming it all on Facebook, and it was motivated by hatred because they were shouting racial slurs at him. The maximum sentence was 8 years. The minimum was somebody walking free and just getting probation. Now, that is absurd, isn't it? Is that not absurd? Well, yes, obviously, it is completely...
So how many years are you saying that the maximum, the ringleader...
The ringleader got 8 years, okay. And the minimum anyone got who was involved in that was probation.
Okay, well, we have to go off for the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. That's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Was involved in that was probation. So maximum is 8 years, minimum is walking free with probation. Now compare that to the case we've just discussed of the man in Iowa who got 16 years. He got double the sentence of the ringleader of that gang, and he got 16 years more than the lower sentence handed out to one of the gang members. Now this really, really underlies exactly the problem that we're talking about here today. And it's happening in the UK. You know, we talked about the man who threw the bacon sandwich at the mosque. You know, he got 12 months inside. He was to serve 12 months inside. So I should imagine his sentence was a 24-month sentence, which is absurd. So that's 2 years in jail. Now, the interesting thing here is let's compare this with a hate crime that happened in Britain. There was a case of a gang of black Muslim girls who attacked a white girl. They pulled a clump of her hair out, knocked her to the ground, kicked her repeatedly when she was on the ground, all while shouting, "Kill the white slag" at her. So obviously this was, you know, a racially motivated hate crime. Yet here we have a case where the judge let them all walk free. They all walked free from jail because the judge said that these girls had drank alcohol, and because they were from a different culture, because they were from a different country, because they weren't used to drinking alcohol, the judge said, well, you know, they didn't know what they were doing. They were out of their depth. Things got a bit too much for them, and that was it. Now, isn't that absurd? An actual brutal, gang assault, a racially motivated gang assault, gets less time for the people who perpetrated that crime than throwing a sandwich at a building. Now, this is happening all over the West. We've given you cases here from America, cases in the UK, and this is happening because hate crime legislation was not created to reduce hate crimes. No. Hate crime legislation was not created to make society more equal. It wasn't created so that at the end of it all, we'd all value each other more and we'd all get on a lot better and everyone would realise that attacking other people was the incorrect thing to do, especially when motivated by racial, religious hatred or some other form of hatred. Hate crime law was created because ultimately the government is anti-white. And that is why hate crime legislation is always rolled out to a much greater degree and used against white people. And that same legislation is not applied when the perpetrators of these horrific crimes are not white.
So we do have a two-tiered justice system, and there's, I mean, just to compare what you described, you know, you've got the kid in Iowa who gets 16 years for burning a gay flag. Well, the flag wasn't gay, right?
the flag itself
it was rainbow. It was born that way. The flag was born that way. But yeah, you can't blame the flag. But this gang in Chicago gets 8 years, and then of course you look at Charlottesville and DeAndre Harris. He walks free. He gets to make rap videos, the flag, well, the flag there in question was a Confederate flag, so it was evil. Jacob Goodwin is in prison for 8 years. And, you know, Jacob Goodwin wasn't shouting out racial epithets. I mean, we know what Jacob Goodwin's motivation was because the whole thing is on videotape. You can see it on YouTube. Jacob Goodwin, he didn't hit this guy for any reason other than he had just clubbed an old man over the head. And he was defending the old man, something that the police should have been doing. And by the way, Jacob Goodwin and the old man and all the rally participants were following police orders and going to their cars. And DeAndre Harris and the flamethrower guy from Black Lives Matter were disobeying, and Heather Heyer for that matter, they were all disobeying police orders, the governor's state of emergency. They were disobeying, and the rally participants were obeying, and you know, look where it got us.
Well, as I say, I think this is happening all over the Western world, and especially in America, Western Europe, Australia. These hate crime laws, as I said before the break, these hate crime laws were not created to make us equal. They were created to build a two-tier legal system. A two-tier legal system where whites would end up as second-class citizens and where these laws could be used to prevent and punish freedom of speech. So we're now in a situation where if you are white and you say something on a social network, if you say something on Twitter or Facebook, if you say something on Instagram, you are more likely to go to jail for speaking your mind on a social network than a non-white is for brutally, physically assaulting a white person on the streets of Britain. And that is the double standard exposed to the greatest degree. But all of these judges, all of the newspapers, and all of the politicians are going to carry on doing this. And this just goes to show that the whole system is anti-white. The newspapers might report on these things, but they never call for any changes. They report on it as a way to say to people, oh, well, you know, we're talking about it. But they report on it so often that then people just get used to it. People get, sort of acclimatized to this nonsense. And they just think that's the way it is. So it makes people less likely to fight back. The politicians, they're the ones that made these laws, and they'll certainly never punish the judges. And the judges are so deeply entrenched in the pro-multicultural agenda and were most likely hand-picked for their role as judges because of their slavish devotion to multiculturalism. So this is how you see a system or a political system crafting an anti-white agenda, which is, as I said, used to create a two-tier justice system. And the amazing thing about this, the really amazing thing about this, is we're talking about this today and saying there's this two-tier system. Yet every day in the newspapers, you hear some D-list celebrity, some talentless rapper like Stormzy in the UK, berating white people and telling them that, hey, Britain is a racist country. Britain is a racist country. You're all racist. You're all horrible people. You're all treating the blacks terribly. You're treating the Muslims terribly. You're treating the Jews terribly. This is a racist nation. Well, it is actually a racist nation. There is a group of people who are an underclass, but it isn't the coloured people. It isn't blacks, it isn't Muslims, and it's certainly not Jews. The underclass are whites. And the racism is systemic, anti-white racism that is being enforced top-down by the establishment.
You know, you mentioned these hate crime legislation, and I remember maybe 10 years ago or so, I was at an event. It was honoring Dennis Kucinich, who was a member of Congress. He had run for president a couple of times. He ran decent campaigns. He didn't get too far, but it was very anti-war. It was very anti-war campaigns. And he's a former member of Congress. I will say, he's virtually the only person, the only like left-wing politician in America who spoke well of Donald Trump in the wake of his victory. So he's not much of a factor anymore. He's out of Congress. He has a very beautiful and very tall red-haired British wife, by the way, much younger than him. Very real trophy there. But I was sitting at the table with him and his wife, and you know he was a guest of honor, and he was explaining. He was still a member of Congress at the time. I think this would have been around 2009, and he was saying how he had just voted against the National Defense Authorization Act. They do this every year. Donald Trump just signed one. And the thing is, these defense bills, which are, I mean, somebody like Dennis Kucinich is an outlier because he votes against them, but they're almost always voted for them. You know, everybody will vote for them. They're passed virtually unanimously because we have to support the troops. But they always stick a bunch of stuff on it. And this particular year, he was saying, well, it had hate crime legislation, and he hated to vote against the hate crime legislation, but he just couldn't vote for the Defense Authorization Act. Well, I mean, good for him. I mean, he should have been happy to vote against both of them. But this was I went and looked it up. This is the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. So this was not passed on its own merits. This was just a rider that was stuck onto a piece of legislation that if you don't vote for it, then you're not supporting the troops. So, you know, this is how things get done. This is how we get this system. It's not that anybody voted for mass immigration. It's not that anybody, the voters wanted hate crimes legislation. It gets, these things happen always through the back door without, and, you know, what happened this past week with Donald Trump signing this Defense Authorization Act. There's all sorts of stuff on it. I haven't looked into it carefully, but supposedly there are three, kind of piecemeal amnesty aspects to provisions to what he just signed. That, you know, certain subgroups of illegal aliens are going to get their pathway to citizenship through it. I don't even know if Donald Trump knows what's in it. These people, they don't know what's in it, and so that's how things work here. I don't know how sausages are made in Britain. How's a Yorkshire pudding made? I don't know. Or a meat. What do you have? Blood pudding over there?
We have black pudding. We have Yorkshire puddings and black pudding, and they're very, very different. Yorkshire pudding is basically like pancake.
Oh, it's probably pretty good.
But, yeah, and they sort of rise up into these quite doughy in the center, but sort of crispy around the edges on the top, and they go with meat and gravy.
Well, maybe I should have gone with haggis. That would be how's haggis made? I don't know.
Well, black pudding is completely different from Yorkshire pudding. Black pudding is congealed pig's fat and pig's blood, and that's usually made with a little bit of pepper, some spices, and that is really nice. But you eat that with breakfast, and black pudding with crispy bacon and runny fried egg is one of my favourite. Right, I love Yorkshire pudding with roast beef.
How about chicken, haggis?
I don't know. I'm not Scottish.
Okay.
I'm not
I hear up in Scotland that the McDonald's
is one of those things. I think I've tried it.
I think if you go to a McDonald's,
what haggis is?
Yeah, if you go to a McDonald's in Glasgow, you can get a McHaggis Happy Meal. That's what I've heard. For the kids.
Definitely heard wrong.
All right, where the heck were we?
I don't know. I'm totally lost. This is our Christmas episode. We can say what we want, can't we? It's Christmas.
It is Christmas. Like, Merry Christmas,
everyone. People are going to forgive us, aren't they? People are going to forgive
us. Well, speaking of Christmas, you know, 30 years ago maybe, there was the Feed the World.
Band-Aid, yeah.
Band-Aid, yeah. And
it's the one Christmas song. We've been playing Christmas songs to Sophia, and that is the one Christmas song that is completely banned in the house. Another thing I hate, do you know who Michael Bublé is?
I have no idea.
No, good, you don't want to know either. He's somebody that covers Christmas songs, and my lady, she loves Michael Bublé at Christmas, and I've also had to say I can't cope with any more Michael Bublé this Christmas.
Okay, well, so yeah, Feed the World, let them know it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
And you know, that says a lot of things. So it appealed to our empathy and our altruism as white Europeans doesn't. You know what my Christmas present is this year? It's Professor Kevin MacDonald's book. It's sitting over. It just arrived yesterday, but I can't start reading it until Christmas.
Which one? Culture of Critique?
No, I've got that already. This is his new one, Individualism and the Western Liberal Tradition. And it's looking at our evolutionary history, the various you know, pre-Ice Age groups that combined to make, some are pre-Ice Age, but post-Ice Age groups that combined to make the European people. And he's looking into our deep, deep past and finding, you know, different aspects of our society traced to different groups that had come together to make the European people. And it's very interesting, but I've got to read it first. I interviewed him on this show about a month ago, and he said, "Okay, now after you read the book, invite me back, and we'll talk."
Well, I don't want to. I don't want to blow any of this for you, but I do think it'd be a very, very interesting book, and I'll tell. And obviously, you know, people weren't always expecting me to say anything other than that. But I recently spoke at a conference in Holland, and Dr. Kevin MacDonald was the keynote speaker. He was the big man. He was the one that finished the conference, the closing speech, and he did speak about that particular book. So, and it's something obviously I'm very interested in as well. Like my book, The Fall of Western Man, I'm sure a very different book to what Kevin's will be, but and I'm sure Kevin's will come at it from a much more academic standpoint. But my book, or a large portion of my book, is about how the Western world has been attacked repeatedly with the intention of breaking down the nuclear family, which is the bedrock of our sort of whole nation, really. But it's the centre of our community too. And by breaking down the nuclear family, by shattering the nuclear family, it leads to our atomization, and it leads us to become selfish individuals who just chase materialism and hedonism. And that's something that I think you and I have discussed many times on the show, so I'm sure you'll get a lot out of Kevin's book. And Kevin's a fantastic guy. I always really enjoy spending time with him. I sort of bump into him at these different conferences in Europe, and his speeches are always superb, so I can't recommend his work highly enough.
Yeah, I've never met him in person. I would like to. I've been privileged to be able to speak to him a number of times on air, and sometimes even off air. Let's just move on. The listeners will hear a lot more about this once I'm done reading the book, and it's a big book, and I'm a slow reader, frankly. But
That's one thing. You see, I regularly get people asking me to read their books and sort of give my opinions. In fact, somebody called John K. Press, PhD, gave me 5 copies of a book called Up With Culturalism, Down With Multiculturalism, to give to anyone who wants to review them. So anyone who wants to review that book, write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com and I'll send you a free copy if you wish to review it, because I've got 5 copies to give away to anyone who wants to review it.
Free? I mean, you can't beat that. Can't beat that. Okay, we'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. So this is your last appearance on this show. I haven't gotten the RBN schedule. I'm not even sure if I have another show on until after Christmas. And Christmas Day, that is usually the day for Patriotic Weekly Review, but I understand you're not going to have it this week, but New Year's Day you will.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be. I don't think we'd have very many viewers, and I also, I'm not sure if I'd be forgiven by the family if I scuttled off at 7 p.m. to start an episode of PWR. I'm also not sure if I'd have any co-hosts.
This is what we're doing is very important, but sometimes just taking a step back is important. And
no, definitely. And as I say, I am looking forward to Christmas. It's my first Christmas with my little girl Sophia, so that's going to be very, very nice. And I do think that, you know, we do need downtime. you know, we all work very hard for the cause. But we will be back on New Year's Day with the one and only Richard Spencer. So it'll be one of his... He's been having a bit of downtime himself, so I'm sure that'll be really good to have Richard on. And he's always a very interesting guy to have on. He always has a lot of very interesting takes. I'm sure that'll be really good. But we do have a couple of minutes left, and I just want to say to everyone, you know, thank you so much for tuning into these shows. Thank you so much for supporting myself and Patrick, watching my shows, tuning in and listening to Patrick's. You know, I hope you all have an absolutely wonderful Christmas. And, you know, 2020, I've got a feeling, is going to be a very big year for nationalism. You know, there's going to be a lot happening, not least the presidential election in America. I think there's going to be a lot more polarization of our society. But I think you'll also see nationalists getting out there a lot more and beginning to organise in the real world. And I think that's going to be a really big thing. And it's something that I'm really, really looking forward to. So I just want to say, you know, thank you so much to everyone who supported us, to everyone who tunes into these shows regularly. And I look forward to seeing you all back here next year for some more fantastic episodes. And I hope you have a great Christmas.
Likewise. Oh, actually, next Monday, maybe if you're available, I think Mr. T's reminded me I probably will have a show next Monday, so maybe this won't be your last show on
It won't be my last show of the year, then, will it? No, I'll certainly be available for that, my friend. Do not worry about that. So I will be available for that, and we will make sure that we have an excellent. That'll be New Year's Eve Eve. So we're doing Christmas Eve Eve today and New Year's Eve Eve next time. So I'll look forward to that. I'll get that one in the diary. And that'll be a good show. And we can discuss if any craziness happens over Christmas. I'm sure we will be the ones to report it and give some good takes.
Right. And like I say, I'm not sure what the RBN schedule is. I should have checked it. But I'll be back again sooner or later with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Thanks, Mark. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.